We thank Him tonight for all things. As the old saints would say, for life, health, and strength. For He making Himself known unto His house. People, the desire to know Him in the fullness of His power. And that is the assurance of the hope that dwells in us. He had no doubt as to who He was, nor where He came from. For He extolled the Father, and He called the Father by name. And because He did that, then the Jews and those that heard that, they thought He was one that blasphemed and infidel. But He was from the Father. So He spoke what the Father had said, what He knew the Father commanded Him to speak. He could speak nothing else but what the Father had commanded Him to speak and what He had heard the Father speak. Nothing else. And as He began to break the light and open up this profound understanding to the house, then only then will the people be willing to die for Him. This is not a people that's willing to die for Him. We're trying to save everything but Him. We try to save flesh, but never His name. We try to save ourselves, but never His glory. And that is what it's all about. It is about Him. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Him. As I asked the saints the other day, that in the midst of that garden, the tree of life was there. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there too. And the scripture talks about the tree of knowledge first. The tree of life before it talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam, and the scripture said that all the trees of the garden, they were all pleasing to look upon. They were good to look upon. And they were there for the meat of the man's soul. Why did he eat from the tree of life? Tell me. Tell me. Before he ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, there was the tree of life too. Why? Why? He didn't eat from that one. And shame it is with us today. We will not eat from that tree. We will not eat from that tree. As a matter of fact, he couldn't eat from it. And that's why when he ate from that tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, he was thrust from the garden. And there Yahweh put a cherubim there that he couldn't eat. He couldn't go back and eat. And I'm telling you, once you deny that tree of life, you're not going back to eat from it again. And that's the truth. What has happened, saints, there's something I want to lay before you tonight, is that man with their philosophies and their intellectual capacity, they have orchestrated this type of doctrine and gospel that is not according to Scripture. And that's the truth. And so they implement their own little forays or their own little thoughts or concepts. That's why you have such great division and divide. That's why you have a Baptist denomination that splits out to all kinds of Baptists. First Baptist, Second, Sabbath Baptist, White Baptist, Black Baptist, Jew Baptist. You have all that. And then you have it from the other extreme in the Pentecostals. You have the First Apostolic, the Black Apostolics, the White Apostolics. Yet you cannot tell me that there's a oneness of spirit and oneness of heart. He is only one with His people, saints. He is not one with religious organizations and structural forms that have not been predicated upon the foundation of truth. He is not a part of that. And so they establish their own righteousness and their own laws and their bylaws. There's only one law. There's only one governing spirit, and that is the power of Almighty Yahweh governing in His house. He didn't leave that the chance for David Roberts, nor you. He didn't do it. That's why He sent the price in fullness, propitiation, Messiah, was the price paid in full for the sins of His house, for His people. And before the foundations of the earth, in Him, He will ordain all those that would eat from that tree of life that was in the midst of the garden. And the same thing prevails today. As Satan speaks to this world and say the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And people are prone to do evil today. They're not prone to do right. They reject the righteous laws because there's a propensity, a desire, and a love for those things that are vile and unclean.
And so it is the same thing today as it was with the first man, Adam. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. He brought to life that law of righteousness that was established from the foundations of the earth. This earth was not a lawless place. It was the sin of a man's heart that caused transgressions to fall upon the entire earth. And by that same one man's sin, there was a man that came in the power of the Father. For he was the Father in flesh. The Word made flesh. He was made. Messiah was made flesh. And he came to make the atonement for our sins. And to bring us in the fullness of this life. As he walked in the fullness of it, so can we. And he did it without sin. He did it without compromising. He did it without trying to please his flesh. He came to please the Father. And we must do the same. For we receive the fullness of Messiah, then only through him can we please the Father. For we acknowledge that the works are of the Father. The works cannot be done any other way. They have to be done by your way. And he sent him in the fullness of his power to redeem man from this cursed law of the flesh that caused him to sin, to do wickedly, to walk corruptly, to walk with a depraved mind, a spirit that is insensitive to the law of your way. And that is what this generation is. We don't have to receive that, but show me something that's different, saint. And I will receive it. I really will. Well, you're a very uncompromising man. No, I don't compromise with truth. I am not preaching another truth. Paul was dealing in the book of Galatians. He was dealing with the people that had been bewitched. That they had begun in the spirit. And now they thought they were going to make this thing perfect by the flesh. And Paul said there is a spiritual law what he was dealing with. That's why he dealt with them all foolish Galatians who have bewitched you. He said, I preach unto you Messiah, Yeshua the Lamb. If someone has come preaching any other thing, say that there's some other way by your adulation or your fleshly power, he said, reject them. And that is what Paul was dealing with. Well, Pastor Roberts, you're preaching another truth. I'm preaching the book and the truth of the book. By preaching another Messiah, there's only one. I'm simply trying to make him real to you instead of figment of imagination. Instead of this thing, that's all he's been to us, a thing. He hasn't been real to us. Say what you will. Say what you may. Because when he becomes real to you, you will do what he says. And we just don't do what he says. I want to read some scriptures. And you can concur with me whether they are literally from the book or not. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. I do ask you to write these scriptures down. And I pray by the anointing of the Holy Ghost that you retain them in your thoughts, your walk during the day, and that you revisit them. To see if this man of Yahweh is preaching or teaching some other form of salvation that is not according to Scripture. And so I would try the Spirit first of all, my intentions, my motive, and then you're welcome to try my Spirit. Just make sure you got the right Spirit to try it. Now either what I will read is truth or it's not. Psalms 12 verse 6. The scripture says, the words. Is that not what it says? Now, I know what it says in that text. I'm going to read it the way my text says it. It says, the words of Yahweh are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Now, that is the word of Yahweh. It's pure. It did not say a singular attribute of his word, but he said the words. And so everything that is written in the book, the word was made what? Flesh. And so if Messiah said that, it is pure. And if he spoke a pure word unto us, ought we not to do what he said? Ought we not to do what he said? You can't wrestle with your flesh. As we were walking in, Elder Martin said, there are more people again. He reiterated that because of the emotions, they're going to die in their sins. It's going to bring more folks unto destruction than anything. That's what Israel did. Well, where's our garlic and our flesh pots? If he delivered me, then he's more than able to give me a flesh pot. He's more than able to give me garlic. It's either every word of God, as it says, every word of Yahweh, they are pure words or they are not. They're either pure or they are not. It is either pure or it is unpure. And the scripture says, the words of Yahweh are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times, you can't find any dross in it. You can't find any sin in it. You can't find any leaven in it at all. It is pure. It is pure. There's no fault you can find in it. There's no vanity in it. Because if there was any vanity in it, it is devoid of truth. It is worthless. It has no significant value at all. So every word that he speaks unto us, and Messiah is the word made flesh, every word that he speaks unto us is pure. David goes on in Psalms 119, verse 140. I want to establish a witness. Let every word be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. So I want every scripture tonight to be established in the scripture with witness of scripture. Only scripture can witness scripture. Because you always spoke it, it's settled, and that's it. He is a self-existent one. You can have gods, and gods are formed, and they are not self-existing. You can have lords that are not self-existing. They are formed. They are made. Men are made gods, and things are made gods. Was not Satan, or does not scripture call him the god of this earth, the prince of the powers of the air? Was he made? Was he made? He was made by Yahweh. And it calls him a god too. That's what scripture says. You can deny it, but every word of Yahweh is pure. David said in Psalms 119, verse 140. He said, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servants love it. What was made flesh? The word was made flesh. Was not that flesh very pure? It was made flesh. Thy word is very pure. There are no impurities in the word of Yahweh. What he speaks it. And no man can challenge that. Who is it? Who is he? We must find out who he is. For this is a generation that's never known his name. And he has one. And Messiah never denied it. And if you deny because you don't know him. He said, thy word is very pure. Therefore now. Now if you are a servant of Yahweh, you love it. Not just love it or care for it. He said, but his servants, they love us. There's a continuation of the desire to hear it. To walk in it. To fellowship in it. To be filled with it, to eat it, to know it, because they love us. It's his word, because it's very pure. They know that there is no fault in the word, that they can trust what he says. They can adhere to what he says, because in that discipline of hearing and obeying what he says, it produces the life or the tree of life in a man's soul, and he can eat from that power of that tree. And that's what Yahweh wants today. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Now we have 3 witnesses here. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. It says, every word, not some words, every word of El is pure. Every word of El Shaddai, Yahweh, it is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now every word is pure. Every word. You must understand the connotation of that every. Each word is a part of the whole, but each word has its specific place to bring about that profound understanding as to what he is trying to say to a house. And so every word that he speaks unto us, it is pure. And Messiah came to speak the words that he had heard the Father speak. He did not come with his own agenda, a different law. His law was not apart from the Father, but it was the same law of righteousness. Now, if every word of Yahweh is pure, is what Scripture says, and one of the most profound visitations of darkness was when Messiah had a visitation from Satan. 40 days in the wilderness without food or anything to sustain any natural growth. For his flesh was weary. It was tried. It was perplexed. Yet this dark power, insidious force of hell came to try the word. That's what he came to do. He knew whom he was. He knew that he was just not a son of a God. He knew that he was a son of Yahweh. If thou be the son of Yahweh. Why? Because he knew what was written. He quoted that unto him. He knew the scriptures. He knew what was written. And the scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew 4:4. If every word is pure, Messiah said in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. May I ask you a question? Was the New Testament written at this point in Messiah's life? It was not written. There was no such as New Testament. Paul was not moving in the ministry of the Gentile. That's why Messiah Yahweh raised him up for that purpose, that he may go unto the Gentiles. Messiah came from the house of Israel, and he raised up Paul for that purpose, to go unto the Gentile nations. That's why he raised him up. He came unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he came unto. And no one else. Even the woman at Cana, the Canaanite said, even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall off of the master's table. He said, what great faith you have, woman. Let it be as thy faith, because you know who I am. You understand what I come to do. And the bread is not for the dogs. It's not for you to have this bread. It's for the lost house of Israel. He meant what he said. Yahweh hasn't changed one thing at all. Not one bit. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. You may change. I may change. But he doesn't change. He is a self-existent one. There are gods that come and there are gods that go. But Yahweh is the same. Why? Because only that name is a self-existing name. The others are names that are given unto these gods. Shaitan, they have been created, have been made in the figment of man's mind, in their own worship of their own act of obedience unto that particular thing. But he is self-existent. He had no beginning and no end. None whatsoever. There was no other before him. There was no other before him. There was not one before him. There was not one equal with him. There was not one with parity with him. He is, and there is not other. No other. But he answered and said, it is written. That's what Messiah said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. Every word of Yah is pure. So man just can't live by some of what he says. They can't choose the things that they like, but they must live by every word that proceeded out of his mouth. Every word that he says. So you tell me what David said did not proceed forth from the mouth of Yahweh? What he said proceeded from the mouth of Yahweh. That's why Messiah said, it is written. There was no New Testament written at that time. There was only the Torah, the prophets, and Psalms that were written. And he knew that was the power of Yahweh in the midst of that. Not what I said, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. Because he spoke what he heard the Father. He could do nothing of himself. What he did was of the Father. He did what he had seen the Father do. And that's the truth. And he gives that accreditation to his Father throughout Scripture. Now, the philosophy of man has taught us not to do that. And so we don't do that because we become so enriched in our traditions. And so when a man like me began to speak something, although he's been traditionalized and taught certain things all his life, all of a sudden he began to shine a light upon a particular thing. And so what men say then, he has fallen from the grace, and yet they have fallen from the grace of Yahweh. Paul was a man that was a man that was incensed with the law of the Pharisees. He was about to destroy. He went to Damascus to waste those saints. He had no pity at all, none whatsoever. And on his way to Damascus, Almighty Yahweh spoke from heaven. And he spoke in the Hebrew tongue unto Saul. He did not speak in an English tongue, but he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. And Paul spoke 13 different languages. But he knew that one. Why? Because that one, there was no high shades and low shades. It was precise. And he spoke to him in his power, his name, and his authority. For he was on his way to waste the saints. Why? Because they were calling on that name. That this commandment here says, we don't take the name in vain. Well, what is the name that you take in vain? Tell me. What is the name that you take in vain? Tell me. Is it Lord? Is it God? There is a name. And in that text it says, we don't take the Lord thy God, his name, in vain. What is the name? Tell me the name. Tell me the name. I want to know the name that we can take in vain. To say it's worthless. To say it's void of truth. That's what this generation is doing. That's not his name. That doesn't mean nothing. It says void of truth. It's not so, my sister. It is so. In every king, when he establishes government, his name is the pinnacle and the zeal of that government. And that's why we've been a lawless people. We've been lawless in our sins. We've been shiftless. We walked in sin and corruption. We walked in disobedience. We have disobeyed him, disallowed his laws. And now he says, now I'm going to redeem Israel by getting glory upon my name. And it's going to be done in my name, like he did with Pharaoh. As he did then, he's going to do it again in this hour. And that is his name, Yahweh. He has a name. The scripture says in Luke chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Luke and Matthias witnessed this profound saying and this transition that took place. Although they were not there physically, it was conveyed unto them by the Father. And they wrote as the Holy Ghost led them to write. Luke chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son, if thou now, look at how this child of darkness speaks. If thou be the Son of Yahweh, command the stone that it be made bread. And Yahushua answered and said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, what a profound statement, but by every word of Yahweh. Each individual word of a part, and there is no exception to any of it. He must live by every word. Do you hear that? I want you to hear that. Every word now. Every word. Every word. The word was made flesh. Every word. Every word now. Not some words. Not all the words. But by every word. There's a different connotation there. I'll tell you what. You go home in your dictionaries and you look up the word every. I know in our vernacular we all think we know what it means. But you truly don't. And that has been the ignorance of Yahweh's people. That has been. There's no willingness of heart to press beyond this lazy, shiftless, corrupt stuff we call flesh. They lost to sleep, eat, and to be drunk on, sedated. That's all it loves. It doesn't love the Father because it's enmity with Him. So it doesn't strive for the spiritual laws, nor does it have aspiration for those spiritual laws. And rejects that. When he hears it, I don't want that. That's flesh. I tell you what, it's either that I'm real or I'm false. And that is the truth. I can't be both. You can't have pure water and bitter water out of the same cistern. I'm either preaching a false doctrine, false messiah. I'm a deceived renegade. Or I'm lost on my way to hell. Well, I know what I'm speaking by the Spirit. Has to be one or the other. Has to be. Can't be in the middle ground. It's either all for Him or you're against Him. And I'm for Him. Now the Scripture says in Exodus chapter 20, I want to lay this down, this Scripture here. I know what I said, but I want to read it according to Scripture. I want to read it just the way it is in that text you have. It says this. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, thou shalt not, that simple understanding, take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, what is the name of the Lord thy God? Tell me, my friends, that's all I ask you. If he said we should not take the name, what is the name of the Lord thy God? Tell me his name. For the word Lord is a title, and so is God. I have the definition of both here. Even the one that is capitalized and the one that is not capitalized. And the meaning is the same. It makes no difference at all, but the meaning is the same. It makes no difference how you look at it. Whether small case G or capital, it means the same. Whether it's lowercase L, and how does one that has no understanding of this perfect law, a word, know which case you're speaking in? For they know their Lord too, and they know their God. It is evident. It is there. Now the reason most folks will not look at that because their little house will crumble down. Because they have built their little house upon the sand. And the winds are blowing. My house is built upon the foundation of truth. I haven't wavered. And I haven't shook. What did ye expect to come out to see, as John said? Why did John speak that? A reed shaken by the wind? He knew how that Yahweh had shook the wicked. They had been like a reed in the wind. They had been shaken. And he had read it in Scripture how the wind had blown. And they fell because of their sins. Their wickedness. Well, you're drawing us away from Yahweh. No, my friend. I'm drawing you away from your God. Your flesh. Your mama. Your papa. Your daddy. Your traditions. Your compassion. Your caring. To bring you and present you before Him. For He is the Divine One. He is the only one that deserves glory and praises. He is the only one that deserves accolades and no one else. Now the Scripture says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take. Listen to that. His name in vain. Now, Lord, you're the Lord. He's His mighty Redeemer. Tell me your name, Lord. What is His name? Tell me. When that house said, who? Moses said, who do I tell them? Sit me. Tell me. No, I am who I am, Moses. I'm simply Yahweh. I'm the one that existed before there was existence. I'm the one that was from the beginning before there was a beginning. I have no beginning. I have no end. None whatsoever. That's who I am. How do you take a name of that Lord or of that God in vain when you don't know his name. You must know his name. That's why these Jews today, they look and they mock these people that call themselves, quote, Christians, unquote. Why? Because they know that that name, Jesus Christ, can never derive from text. And they mock it. They know it can't be. They know the Torah. They know the laws of Moses. They know the something. You can't get that from it. They know it. They understand that. And they are making more proselyte children of hell. They're doing more damage than they could ever do. And that is the truth, saints. They're doing more damage than they can do good. They talk about Jews for Jesus. They're liars. They're liars. These old Orthodox Jews know that you can't deduct that from Scripture. And they say that Jesus was in the Old Testament. No, Messiah, you're sure is. And those Jews understand that too. Glory. And they know that there's only one Elohim, and his name is Yahweh. There's not two or three or five or ten. There's only one mighty one. No other like him. None other. Tell me, my friend, as Yahweh profoundly uttered this unto Moses, thou shalt not take my name in vain. What is his name? What is the name of the Father? He has to have a name. There must be a name that we can take in vain. We can speak vanity against that name. There has to be a name that we can literally speak vanity against. And you must understand what vain is. I understand that it's worthless. But vain is void of truth. And so we say that the name of Yahweh is void of truth, then we speak vanity against that name. When you say there's no truth in that name, when you say it's not of any essence, it has no value, then it is void of any truth at all. And in that name is the truth of Messiah, for he came from the Father, out of the Father, for his name is of the Father, Yahshua. And that's the truth. He did not change his name to a Greek name, or a Latin name, or an English name. His name is Yahweh. And these perverted doctrines have crossed and twisted the minds of folks. Now when they hear that, they get hardened in their hearts. They hate it. They despise it. Why? Because they have taken Yahweh's name in vain. This is for the truth. There's nothing there. Only in that name you find Messiah. You can't find any other name. And there's one thing about Yahweh. As Messiah, there were things that he said to his apostles. He says, you're not just ready for this right now. He said, I'll let you know before. You'll know in time. He said, well, there's just some things I can't tell you. You're not ready for it. And so he spoke in parables. Why did he speak in parables? You know why he spoke in parables? Because the scripture says it. The prophets prophesied that. The prophets prophesied that he was speaking parables. It was written that he was speaking parables. It's in scripture. I tell you, what if you spend a little time in scripture and take a little time with him instead of taking so much time for your flesh? So much time for your own corrupt will. So much time in devilish endeavorments. And take a little time for scripture. So much time ripping and rotting, running and ripping. Just a little time for him. Just a little time with him. You began to see the profound truth that is written in the book. You began to see the words that he has spoken. Now, that brings about the visibility of whom he is. And you will know who he is. Now the scripture says in Romans chapter 9, I want to get to this. This is what I want to get to and thrust home to you tonight. Romans chapter 9, but I want to lay the foundation and the cornerstone to know whom he is and what we ought to speak and what we ought to declare. Do you understand even what that word declare is? It is to make known, vociferous, to speak it. Do you understand that? Look at what scripture says. It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Do you believe that? Do you believe that scripture? Do you actually believe that? I believe it. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? Yahweh forbids. Is it because I did that? Is he unrighteous? No. For he saith to Moses. This is what he says now. This is what the Father, who's speaking? the Father. He's not some figment of Moses' mind. But he said to Moses, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. What a statement. We don't want to buy that. We don't want to buy that truth and sell it not. Well, that is not the way God is. He said, Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will. And I will love whomever I will. Don't tell me who to love. Don't tell me who to have compassion on. I know everyone and everything. So whomever I choose, I show mercy. What a profound statement. That's why his mercies are renewed every day. I said they want that renewed. He showed me mercy. Have compassion on me. So then, verse 16, so then, it is not him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of Yahweh that showeth mercy. And then Paul uttered here in verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Is that not what it says? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I. Now this is Yahweh speaking. Who raised him up? He have mercy on whom he will, doesn't he? He has compassion on whom he will. He say, I raise thee up. That I might show my authority, who I am, my power in thee. And that now, he raised him up to show his power in him, and that my name might be declared throughout what? How much? How much? All the earth. Now that's what he said. Every word of yours is pure. He said, for this purpose I raise you up to show my power in you. And to make sure that my name, for they will know who did this. They will not say that what God did this. That's why he waited and drowned and destroyed Pharaoh's mighty army. That was a mighty army that Pharaoh had. Mighty in power. Mighty in warfare. Yahweh brought them all in that Red Sea and he destroyed them. That men may know that this was not Moloch. It was not Dagon, but his name was Yahweh. That his name, he said, I want my name declared. What is to declare? Now, I want to define that for you. The word declare, what does it mean? It says this, preach, signify, declare to advertise, broadcast, express, to utter, to carry a message through, announce everywhere, through places, through assemblies of men, etc., to publish abroad is to declare, to dissimulate public, to make sure to bring to public notice, lay before the public, publish, or noise it abroad to be spread and to put it forth. Now that is what declare is. You can't miss that with that definition. It is simply to speak it, to make it known. He said, for this purpose, I've raised you up, Pharaoh. I've made you mighty. I've made you powerful. I made your kingdom to be a splendid kingdom that I'm going to show my might in thee. For there is no one that can destroy Pharaoh. The gods are with him. He has memorials unto the gods. He has his pantheons and his pantheons of gods. And they will know that the gods are with him. And no one defies the gods. Only the only true Yahweh can destroy the power of his gods. And he said, I raise you up in a mighty splendor that you're recognized through the earth, that your splendid architect and your splendid buildings are known throughout the earth, that is still baffled the minds of men today. The Sphinx, the pyramids. He said, I did something in you that men cannot even determine or understand the power of that. And they still can't. They still cannot. They still cannot. He said, I raised you up. I made you a god in the land. That's what he made him, a god. I raised you up to be all powerful. And then I set my children in bondage under you. 425 years to serve you. And now I'm going to cause your heart to become hardened to give them a little more rigor. Your great-great-grandpappy and all, they were there to establish this kingdom. But I raised you specifically up for this. Jacob he loved, and Esau he hated. Jacob he loved, and Esau he hated. I have mercy on whom I will. I have compassion on who I will. And it's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth. It is me to do what I want to do. And you better understand that. I don't think we understand that. So he raised up this mighty king. That Pharaoh's name was known all throughout the earth. Sure, his name was, saint. He did not go get some little lowly king. This man's name was known throughout what we call the entire world at that moment. He received gifts from every part of the world. Sure, he did. You always say, I raise you up for one purpose. That my name, and my name will be associated with destroying you and your kingdom, your power, that will be brought to naught. And that nation is still nothing today. Impoverished, poor, destitute, under bondage of some religious whore of Islam. Sure it is. He raised him up for one purpose, that his name would be declared. Well, that doesn't mean that his name is spoken. I will show you in Scripture when something is declared, it is spoken. It has to be, saints. It has to be. And we must shake that cloud of ignorance of our own flesh. We must shake the cloud of our rebelliousness against his truth. Every word of yours is pure. And his servants loveth it. Only the servants love it. Only those that know him loveth his name. Those that despise it, they don't love him. I don't care what man says. Even a heathen, an ignorant man with no understanding, he will not fight against it. He will not. He will be like the Bereans. I will hear this matter to the end. And see what Scripture says. And as you always began to open up the life of the Scripture to you, you can't run from what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the truth. You can't hide. You can do what you want to, but this is the truth. You can't get under it. You can't get around it. You got to come in at this truth. No, I'm not making nothing up. I don't need no book from no man, no woman. But I do receive brothers of truth that possess that knowledge of understanding. I won't reject men of faith. I won't reject daughters of Zion. I won't do that. I'm not a fool. I won't do that. Because either I'm a charlatan, I'm a false brother, or you better obey what he says. He says for this purpose, how Yahweh caused Paul's heart to speak this profound utterance that he knew it was written. For the Scripture saith, is not that what it says? It says the Scripture saith unto who? Pharaoh. Now it says in Exodus chapter 9 verse 16, I want to read that. In Exodus. As the old preacher would say, I feel good in my soul. It is always truth that liberates me. I'm not bound to any kind of spirit of man's judgment. I preach the truth. And it's a simple truth. It's not complex, it's an easy truth. That's why he don't want you thinking that you're doing it. It's not by might nor by power. He said it, but it's by my spirit. And Messiah said, the words I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. So he has given us the words of spirit. And you're always a spirit. They're spirit and they're life. You're not going to have any credit. You got credit, you give glory to you. He want all glory unto him. He's not giving you any credit. No, sir, my friends. Y'all sure paid it all. The price paid in full. You haven't paid one price. Not at all. It's already finished. That's why he said on Calvary, it is finished. And it is finished. The Scripture says in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, this is what the word of faith says. It's not my written stipulations, but it's what's in this book that you say you believe. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now, it's either that I say this, that this quote God you think you know, he lied there, or he didn't tell the truth. He lied or he told the truth. It is either a lie or it's the truth. There ain't no way around it. Now this Lord you think you know, it's either he lied or he didn't. And he said, my name, tell me, all I ask any of you all, tell me the name that must be declared. Amen. Lord? No. God? No. Yahweh. Yah. You glorify him that rideth upon the heaven by his name. Yah. I'm so glad that Yahweh, I'm so grateful, saints. Since the robbers can turn against me today, all of you can walk away. And I say that to the extreme. I know you're not. But I'm glad that he never brought me up in this type bondage that most folks are brought up in. Where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there's liberty to receive his truth, to acknowledge it, to know it's the truth. And I will try the Spirit and see whether it's of Yahweh. I will try this man. Try me. I don't mind. Just make sure you try me with the right spirit now. I was with Brother Ryan today, and we went and did a little something. He said, you know, I like doing this with you, Pastor Roberts. Of course, I wanted him to stay the course with me, but he just couldn't stay the course with me. He said, them other brothers, he said, look different with you. I said, I know. You're dealing with the master now. Not dealing with the novice. You're dealing with someone that knows what he's doing. And so that makes the difference. There is where the difference is. I know what I'm doing. And I got something that his youthful power doesn't possess. Not at all. Period. And that's the truth. Oh, so you think you better know? It's just something that I know that he doesn't know. That's it. That's it. And that's all. For this purpose, I've raised thee up. That my name, that is so simple, may be declared, announced, publish, preach, acknowledge abroad throughout all the earth. He means what he says. He's not going to take one word back from that. You may stumble. He's not going to take one word back from that. Not one word at all. Well, that doesn't mean what it means, Pastor Robert. To declare doesn't mean to speak. I want to show you something. The scripture says in Matthew's, chapter 13, or to begin in verse 35, here Messiah is talking about the kingdom of Yahweh, this glorious kingdom. And he's speaking in a way in parables that the folks and even the apostles do not understand what he's saying. He's speaking in this tongue that they cannot even comprehend. That's why they can't comprehend the things of the Spirit today. I can speak natural things and you can comprehend them very easily. When it comes to the spiritual enlightenment, we're far removed from that. We get very drunken when it comes to that. So Messiah is talking about this kingdom of Yahweh, as he speaks in Matthew's chapter 13, verse 35. He says that it might be fulfilled, listen now, that it might be fulfilled. Is not that what it says? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by who? The prophet said, I will what? How? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now that's what Messiah said. That's what the scripture says. That's what scripture says. That Messiah will open his mouth in parables. He will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the earth. Then Yahshua sent the multitude away. And he went into the house. And his disciples came unto him saying, what did they say? What did they say? What did they say? What did they say? They said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Is that not what they told him? He said, for this purpose I raised thee up that my name may be declared in all the earth. So the apostle said unto him, declare the parable of the tares. And the scripture said, and he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the Moloch, or the angels of your way. They told him, declare unto us the parable. Tell us. The prophet said he will speak in parables. He will speak things that have been hidden from the foundations of the earth. Men have not known these things. And they did not understand what he was saying. So he sent the multitude away. He sent the vast multitude of people away. He said, you all go on home. You go on. And the apostles were there. And they said, now Messiah, declare unto us. And so when he began to declare, he began to preach unto them. And so you always say, my name shall be declared or preached throughout the entire world. That's what it should be. And what men have done in the Baptist and Methodist organization, they have thrown away the old covenant. Say it is non-essential, has no power, has no life. They are fools. You must go back. We must go back. Are these laws pertinent today? They were written in the old covenant. They are alive. They are spiritual. They ought to be written in our hearts and in the inward parts of our soul. And you cannot use his name in vain to say his name is for the truth. Yeshua is truth. Pharaoh said, what is truth? Pilate said to them, what is truth? When something is vain, it is for the truth. And his name, Messiah, is not for the truth. He is the truth of your way. Sure he is. That is the only name that is the full of truth of your way. For in that name is salvation, Yahshua. He always said his son to save the world. And salvation belongeth unto him. No other name whereby given on the earth whereby we can be saved. For in that name is salvation. No other name.